Good morning. What a beautiful day it is outside, and an even more beautiful day to be gathered in the beauty of this place to worship with one another. Always wonderful to gather. Hard to believe that we are already in the month of February. Another week is upon us, another month is upon us, but always good to pause in the midst of the busyness to gather and to worship. I want to extend a special welcome, of course, to all, but especially to those who might be visiting with us, and in particular, if you're here with us for the first time. If this is your first time or one of the first times visiting with us here at St. John's, and you haven't yet filled out a visitor card that looks like this, in the pew rack right in front of you, please take a moment to do that right now or throughout our service. You can either leave that card in the pews or you can take it to the back, to the right of the exit. There is a little basket that you can place it in. Just some basic information so that we can get to know you and thank you for being with us this morning, so you can get to learn a little bit more about us as well. And I trust that all of you know that no matter who you are, and no matter where you are on life's journey, it is our deep desire to meet you where you are, and most importantly, to share God's love with you. So again, welcome. We do have some important announcements this morning. The first of the announcements, I'm going to invite Liz Rivett to come forward. You might be smelling something. There's something going on here after our service, so I wanted to invite her up to share about that.
Good morning. So it's here. Today is the day. Today, following our service, following the postlude, I'll invite you to stay put in your seats, and we're going to have our congregational meeting. When you came in, you got a lot of paper this morning. So I'll just explain what you have, and that way you can take a look at it and then set it aside for the service. But you got one piece of paper that is the congregational meeting agenda, and it has some financial information attached to it. And you got a second handout that has to do with the results of our visioning. So no need to look at that now. That is just ready for later today. If you didn't get one on your way in, certainly we'll have the hospitality team be able to bring one to you. And you also should have received a ballot. We're going to vote on paper for the bylaws amendment. So I do hope you'll stay and join. And you have to stay because after that is the dinner, as Addie said. I'm so happy to see so many of you here today. So following the meeting, we'll head downstairs and we'll have our winter congregational dinner. Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks, Liz. And another important announcement, I'm going to invite Bill Leslie forward.
Good morning. So I just wanted to give everybody a heads up. There was an announcement in the Herald this week, and I understand it's probably also in the bulletin today, but beginning on February 18th, we're going to be passing the plate again, handing the offering plates during the service. So we received a number of comments recently regarding the opportunities for collecting offering. In response to these comments, beginning on Sunday, February 18th, hospitality team members will begin to once again pass offering plates to the congregation in the pews during the 10:15 service. The current practice of having plates by the entrances before the service, that will continue for those who prefer that method. And electronic giving obviously will also continue to be an option. Also, I will be sending out an email this week to all hospitality team members regarding this and inviting them to a meeting after church next Sunday. We'll be reviewing this change as well as some other changes. And anybody that has any questions, feel free to reach out to me anytime. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill. I love when people join me in the joy of announcement giving, so I'm grateful to Liz and Bill for sharing those announcements. There are quite a few announcements in the bulletin written down. Just ones to pay attention to in particular is the women's retreat happening on Saturday, Church World Service blanket offering Sunday happening next week. There's also some information in here about Ash Wednesday, which is quickly approaching on February 14th. Also really want to draw your attention to the Lenten book study that's happening. There's some good information about here, information about the book that we'll be reading together and the times that we'll be meeting. And a special note is that if you do want to join that by Zoom, you have to let someone know so we can send you the Zoom link. So please make sure that Lisa in the office or Reverend Dale or myself know that you would like to join via Zoom, and you will be Zoomed right into the library with the rest of us. But please do keep that on your radar. There is an announcement about here about the need for greeters, just friendly faces in the back, in addition to our hospitality team members who have lots of other tasks in the morning, but just someone to greet people. And then some information about a soup sale and contribution statement. So they're all here for your reading after the service, of course, right? Not during the service. but please do take a moment later today or in the course of the week to look over those announcements. All right, lots going on this Sunday, but first, we worship. That is the most important reason why we gather this morning, so I want to invite you to join me in taking a deep and slow breath as we breathe in the delicious smells of our congregational dinner, but also breathe in the Spirit of God that surely surrounds us and fills this place, fills each one of us as we come to worship. And then as you exhale, pay attention to the release of tension in your shoulders. Feel yourself settle into this time and in this place. Set aside the many announcements, many things that are busying your heart and your mind, so that we can truly be present as we focus our hearts and our minds and we lift our voices in a spirit of worship this morning.
Thank you. Today we are temporarily called away from engaging the world in order to see and hear what God is doing.
We gather to be reminded of the higher road, our higher angels, and the view of the world we know as God's kingdom.
We've come to worship knowing full well that we need to be nourished in the work of love.
We need our spirits refreshed, our vision for life renewed, and our lives reformed as part of God's restoration of the world.
We need to be reminded that we are God's people in a time when other voices are quick to call us away from what is sacred and holy work.
Come God, come Jesus, come Holy Spirit, and fill us with your presence and peace.
Would you join me now in our confession? God of healing and wholeness, sometimes people share their pains, struggles, and suffering with us, and we quickly sympathize. Beyond that, we struggle with how best to be present to them. We think in terms of a cure or fixing or advice giving, without understanding what might be needed is healing. God, help us become channels of healing, so that those with whom we surround ourselves come to experience something more of both your and our presence. We confess that we can keep a certain kind of distance from others in pain. Maybe we want to protect ourselves from bearing the heartache. Maybe we're weary and tired ourselves and don't have the energy or patience to be present to others in a way that soothes and comforts. Healing God, help us trust that what matters most is that we show up and that we take the time to understand the depth of pain of those who are hurting. It's then your presence and power can be felt and healing can happen. Amen.
For all the heavy burdens we carry and for all the ways we drift away from our sacred center, God, you are there. When we are brave enough to be honest with ourselves, you hear us and forgive us and release us from our sins. Praise be to God. Please be seated. Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Mark. We've been in the Gospel of Mark for quite some time and will continue to be, but this reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 29 through 39. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed by demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him,
When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring town so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout all Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons.
Right. If there's any other kids out there, I'm not sure there is, come up and join us. But I think it's mostly our singers up here, right? Hey, can I scooch in? How's everyone doing? Thanks for singing. It was absolutely beautiful. Wonderful. I love that. Well, I have today a special bag. Now, this bag is in my work bag, which is basically the bag that I carry with me everywhere because, you know, I might need something. And there's very important things in here. A charger for everything that I own. I've got my computer charger. It's a long one. I've got my headphones. I've got a charger for my headphones. I've got a phone charger. I've got my Apple Watch charger. And I have a charger. I think this is for my AirPods. All my chargers. And I have to keep them all in this place or else I'll lose them. How many of you have ever had a device and it's not charged? Now, isn't that the worst? Or the worst thing is when your device is dead and you can't find your charger. Hence the bag with all the chargers, right? I gotta keep them all in one place. Now, I was thinking a lot about chargers because when we don't charge our devices, right, we can't use them. They're kind of no good to us, right? What good is an iPhone if the screen doesn't come on, or what good are our AirPods or our computers or whatever it is we're charging if we don't take the time to charge them. You know, I have a vacuum that doesn't have a cord and you have to charge the battery. And wouldn't you know, every time I go to use that, the battery's dead, right? And then I have to wait, and then I can't do what I need to do. And so then I just have a vacuum with no charge, and that's not very helpful, is it? Well, I was thinking a lot about charging because in the midst of our scripture reading today, there's a lot of stuff that goes on with Jesus healing, right? Jesus is just starting out his ministry. He just called his disciples, and he's starting to do his miracles, his healings, his, remember last week about Reverend Dale talked about sometimes hurts on the outside, but we also talked about hurts on the inside, and Jesus is healing all those hurts on the inside. But my favorite thing that Jesus does, and he does a lot of wonderful things, my favorite thing that Jesus does is he says, time out, I need to go recharge. How many of you need to go recharge your batteries? How do you do that? Now, I don't think you come with, you don't come with a plug, do you?
I have a tablet.
Yeah, how do we recharge as people? We sleep, right? That's how we recharge our bodies, our minds, right? I don't know about you, but sometimes I just need to time out on the day, either take a nap or go to bed, right? That's a good way to recharge. How else do we recharge? Not only our bodies, but also our hearts and our spirits. We eat food, excellent. Excellent way to recharge. We're going to recharge today together, right, at our meal. How else? We talk. Yeah, we talk. We might seek out maybe someone who helps us, like a counselor, or just our friends or our family, right? We talk, we recharge, we vent. How many of you have heard that? We vent our stress and things like that. That helps us to recharge. Well, the way that Jesus recharged is a way that we can also recharge, right? So Jesus is healing people, and it says like everybody in the whole town was at his door needing something, right? How many can you relate? Everybody needs something. They need healing. They want to talk to him, right? And what Jesus does to recharge is he goes away to a deserted place and he prays. That is the best way for us to recharge our spirits and our hearts. Now, sometimes we don't go to a deserted place, right? Sometimes we come to church. This isn't deserted, right? Sometimes we might pray at the dinner table with our families. But sometimes we do need to just take a time out and plug ourselves in, right? We plug ourselves in to God, to God's love, to God's comfort and peace and joy, right? So next time you're feeling like maybe your batteries are running low, which I know we all know that feeling, maybe we're hungry, maybe we're tired, maybe we're hangry, right? I know I get hangry. But maybe we need to take some time away and plug ourselves in to God, okay? So I want you to think about this week ways that you might do that, or places you might do that, or times you might do that, and use it as your charger, right? Your charger when you need charging. All right, so let's pray together, and then we'll end by saying the Lord's Prayer, all right? Loving God, we give you thanks for the example that Jesus gave us of healing and doing wonderful things and being with people and then drawing away from all of that, putting everything on hold, saying time out, and going to charge his batteries by coming to you in prayer. God, help us to do that too. Help us to be mindful of the times when our batteries are running low, to think about what our bodies and our hearts and our spirits might need so that we can continue to do the work you have called us to do, just like Jesus did. Let's do that now by praying the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All right, now I have to go put all of these cords back in my bag. But you make your way back to your seats, and thanks for coming up and singing this morning.
My son Cameron is a postal carrier. He delivers mail in Chester County. And I've been thinking about Cameron. He's come down with something. I think he has the flu. And he's been feeling miserable. Cameron is also a guy who feels very responsible to do his job. So he called in on Thursday and Friday, and then got up yesterday morning and went into the post office. And he lasted about 2 hours, and they sent him home. He's still not doing well, but he was not fully healed. He was not fully well. And I know he's feeling, you know, just sad that he can't be out there doing his job. I was thinking about Cameron as I was thinking about this scripture reading this morning, which is about healing and being made whole. In this reading, we learn that Jesus heals Simon Peter's mother-in-law, and she's been in bed with a high fever. And immediately after being healed, she gets up, serves Jesus and the four disciples, along with everyone else in the house, probably serving them a big meal. And I thought to myself, the nerve. You can read this story and think to yourself, what a bunch of insensitive, sexist morons. Or you can read this story as someone who has been restored to their full health, someone who loves fixing meals for visitors and now can do it again, someone who thoroughly enjoys the company of new companions. You see, healing is about restoration. But not just any kind of restoration. Healing is about a new beginning. Healing is not only about restoration of health. It's also about a restoration of relationships, a restoration of our souls. And it's certainly not limited to physical health either. There is emotional healing, spiritual healing, community healing. Even churches require healing. It's no accident that Mark's gospel links the physical healing of Simon's mother-in-law and other ailments to those who suffer emotional torment. Healing is healing. Some healing is outer in nature. We can see when someone has broken a leg. Healing is also inner. Wounds from childhood that reappear when least expected. Unhealthy histories of families, organizations, and churches that have never been adequately addressed and yet continue to reveal the unfinished business. the quiet demons that insinuate themselves within the family or organizational culture. This is why the healing of Jesus is so important. Illness does not need to be a 5-alarm fire in order to be enervating, unhealthy, and destructive. The unhealthy forces learn to live alongside us like weeds in a garden. I recently read an article in the New York Times, authored by a senior rabbi of a Los Angeles synagogue, Rabbi Sharon Brous, had been researching one of Judaism's sacred texts called the Mishnah. It's a compilation of oral law and teaching. And in it, she discovered a practice from Judaism's Second Temple period, a period which began in 516 BCE. That's a long time ago. It began in 516 BCE and continued until around 70 CE, Common Era. And as she was doing her research around this Second Temple period in Judaism, she describes a ritual that is shared several times throughout the year on the Temple Plaza. After climbing a series of stairs to the Temple Mount, folks enter the plaza and either walk to the right or walk to the left. And it forms two semicircular lines right there in the plaza. Those who had turned to the left were those who had endured or are enduring pain, sickness, hardship, suffering, loneliness, and loss. And those on the right, they came that day to the temple and were present to be there for that group on the left. And they would engage each other. The person on the right would ask the person on the left, "What happened to you? Why does your heart ache?" Or, "Tell me about your sorrow." And those on the left would then share. They might say, "My father died. I'm struggling with depression. My sister is sick. My partner left me." And then the person on the right would then offer a simple blessing. "May the Holy One comfort you." And they might add, "You're not alone." Others would then approach, and this process would continue. And I was struck by the fact that those who offered that blessing to those who were suffering did not try to fix the person. They weren't there to suggest which doctor to see or what medicine to try or to give advice. They were there and present to acknowledge the suffering, the pain, the struggle, and then simply to offer a blessing. There's connection. One of the things people need in a time of pain and suffering is companionship. They simply need someone to be present with them. Not to offer opinions or solutions, but simply to show up and listen. In fact, the title of Sharon Brous's article is, and I quote, "Train Yourself to Always Show Up." And then Rabbi Brous then reminds the reader that next year, these roles might well be reversed. Those who came in on the right to offer a blessing the year before may be the ones who now enter the temple plaza and file to the left. This I know. It's never a good thing to carry our story of pain, suffering, and heartache alone. And that is why I think Jesus showed up to meet those in pain, those who were tormented, those who were sick, those who were carrying lives of despair. Jesus knew that to be human was to acknowledge that we all inhabit a world in which we suffer. A world in which we get sick. A world in which we wrestle with our demons. Jesus was simply modeling how to be a person of faith. And he wasn't trying to gain popularity as a faith healer. And that may be one reason why Jesus ordered the demons not to speak. Mark's gospel makes crystal clear that Jesus' mission was about announcing the kingdom of God and then teaching others about that kingdom. Becoming a local faith healer was not Jesus' true identity. And that's why when Jesus went away to pray alone and then his disciples were busy trying to hunt him down, he told them once they found him that he could not stay in this spot healing people forever. He needed to go to other places, to other communities, to other people to share the good news of God. Which also supports why Rabbi Brous believes it's a good practice, a very good practice, to learn about other people's pain and suffering, even the suffering and pain of those who live beyond our immediate community. You see, she rightly understands that we live in an age of tribalism. Now, group identity, tribal identity, has upsides. There are positives. a group or a tribe can galvanize around a purpose or a mission, and they might even carry what is like group pride. However, a group or a tribe also carries a shadow side, a dark side. And when we see other people as disconnected from us, as other, as them, we are less able to connect and understand and feel their pain and suffering. As Rabbi Brous writes, and I want to quote, our hearts begin to narrow. Of course, we need opportunities to share our pain, our emotional struggles, and suffering in a safe way, which is what I loved about this ritual that happened on the Temple Plaza. It was creation of a safe space where everyone in the community understood their role. No one wants their pain and suffering to be unnecessarily on display or to be exposed in harmful ways, which is one reason why so many people will not share. Of course, there's always a risk. However, as followers of Jesus Christ, if you and I were to view ourselves as holding a sacred responsibility to hold another's pain, dis-ease, and struggle, I believe God is always present. I was talking to a colleague. He talked to me, wished me a good day, and he was telling me about his wife had pulled a really serious muscle pull and went to the doctor, and this doctor was so careful and attentive and spent 30 minutes just trying to understand what she was feeling. And my friend said, you know, by the end of the visit, my wife started to feel better. You know, the healing had already begun because somebody was holding it with her. At times, guilt, shame, those things are connected to pain and disease in our lives and in our histories. And those things are even alive in churches and communities. The default option is to, quote, move on. Without the benefit of believing God can do much, if anything, to heal. The gospel tells us that none of us can really move on until we're healed. The work of the kingdom of God is work of healing, restoration, and the resumption of our true calling. You see, that's what healing's about. Just like Simon's mother-in-law, whom Jesus healed, her call was to be a host. She wanted to serve those who entered her home. And like her, we are being invited into God's healing heart to experience our true callings. And there is healing and new beginnings that await us. And that is good news. Amen.
Seated. What a wonderful song to lead us into our time of prayer this morning. And as we do, I have a few joys and concerns to lift up that have been shared in our book or shared with us throughout the week. Sort of a joy and a concern. The concern is that Thelma Brunner spent time this past week at Lansdale Hospital. She is home now, which is a joy, but she's waiting for a procedure to improve some blood flow to leg and ankle. She's dealing with a wound in her leg. So that's the concern. The joy is that she came home just in time to celebrate her 95th birthday on Friday. So we certainly celebrate with Thelma. I saw her on Thursday and she was ready to go home and ready to celebrate. So prayers for Thelma and for her family and to all who surround her on that special day. A few more concerns. Kathleen Siddell, who is a member of our choir and a member of our church, has requested prayers for her ongoing back issues, something that Kathleen has been dealing with for quite some time, so our prayers surround her. We learned this week that Trudy Yoakum passed away, so we want to keep Trudy's family in our prayers. We also learned that Allison, who is the sister of our associate conference minister, Kevin McLemore, many of you are in touch with him through our work with our search committee and our profile team. Kevin's sister, Allison, is battling cancer, and he is going to be with her. So we pray for her as she undergoes some surgery, and for Kevin for traveling mercies. I'm sure there are other joys and concerns that are on your hearts and minds, so I want to invite you to bring those to mind now as we join with one another in prayer. Loving God, even your son Jesus stepped away from all the chaos, all who needed his attention and his healing, and took time to pray, to connect with you, to recharge and renew his spirit, to be reminded of his purpose, to fill his cup. And we give you thanks that even in the midst of the words and the music of worship, we pause to connect to you in the quietness of prayer. God, there is no part of life that you do not reach out your hand to touch. The messy, the gritty, the real, you get underneath the surface. You draw out, you lift up, you lower our defenses, you break down our barriers. And the power of your love reveals the beauty that you intended for us and for all people. God, so many people in this world are in need. So many are unwell in body, in mind, or in spirit. We pray for all who are sick, and for all who look after them. We pray for all who are full of dread and anxiety, and for those who carry the word of courage and faith. God, our consoler, we pray for all who are sorrowful, for those who are grieving. We pray for the weary, for those who are weighed down by chronic illness, by pain or frailty. We pray for those who are exhausted by the demands of work or caring for others, those who turn to you for new strength. We pray for those who are hungry, for those who are without a home, for all those who live under the threat of violence or war. Lord, hear our prayers. And God, we pray for the joys and concerns that have been lifted up among us this week, surrounding Thelma with both your healing and also our prayers of celebration and joy as she celebrates her 95th birthday. We ask that you might surround Kathleen with your gentle healing as she continues to struggle with back issues. God, we think of Trudy's family as they mourn her passing and celebrate her life. We think of Allison, who is battling cancer and preparing to undergo surgery. We thank you for Kevin's presence with her. We pray for his traveling mercies. And God, we give you thanks for all who come alongside of us in our suffering and in our joy. We take a moment now, O God, to pray silently all the things you have placed on our hearts this day. Hear now the prayers that rise from our midst. Lord, hear our prayers. May our actions be reflections of you. May we be healers, and may all that we do draw attention to you, to the richness you bring to all of our life and the abundance you share, empowering us to share as well. All of these things we pray in the name of Christ, our healer. Amen.
Thank you.
At this time, I invite you to stand as we join in singing our doxology, as our offering is brought forward and as we lift it up and dedicate it to God. God, for each and every one of these gifts, and most importantly, for the hands and the hearts that generously shared them, we give you thanks. As always, O God, we pray that we might use these gifts in ways that honor you, that make us, this place, these people, a place of healing in our community and in our world. Amen.
I love to tell a story of a
The Latin word for healing is salus. It's where we get the word salvation. God is about the healing of our lives and the healing of our world. And you, brothers, sisters, and siblings, you are healers. The most important thing you can do is show up. May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may God give you peace today, tomorrow, forever. Amen.
Okay, just give us a few minutes. We're going to get a few things set up before we start the meeting. We're going to project some things, so we've got to get that set up on the other side. Grab some microphones, and we'll be starting in just a couple of minutes. Yeah, while we're doing that, if anyone needs, make sure you have a ballot. I see some hands up towards the back. A ballot and two handouts, one that has the agenda and one that has information from